Welcome back, listeners, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 8, No One. Stay with us because we got lots to talk about.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I feel like we haven't started off that way in so long.
We're just going to keep going.
I created a monster over here. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Kyle Maddock. I'm going to be your host tonight. To my left here, I have the lovely Ryan Mallady.
Oh, the lovely, my lord.
Yeah, there we go.
I had to start. Can I be the handsome?
The handsome Sarah Stretton.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Am I the mighty? Can I be the mighty?
The mighty Dave Chai.
Hi. Hey, I'm mighty.
Yes.
I'm going to be on the chat with you guys, so live chat with me today. Please. Let's see what you thought about this episode. I can't wait to hear what you think.
Nice. There we go.
Ryan, I think I can hear you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
You're fine.
Battle of the Gules.
There we go.
All right, there it is.
Ryan thinks he's having all sorts of problems, but...
it must be the wine.
Ryan,
you had
some problems with this episode, didn't you? Wait, we'll get to that in
we'll get there.
Ladies and gentlemen...
I got things to say about it.
Let's start off with everybody's favorite serial killer.
Is she a serial killer yet? Has she killed many people?
Arya Stark.
Start.
So everybody had all these theories about she wasn't her, she was the waif, and there was this and that and this
the
and that.
Fight Club
it
theory.
Was her, she got stabbed, and Lady Crane saved the day.
And I'm just going to say that was my prediction last week, so boom.
Yeah, Sarah, you actually had a few predictions that came true. Yeah, you were killing it.
I know.
Right. I mean, I wasn't here, but I was predicting it too, like where I was.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
So, was that anticlimactic that she just got saved by a lady who has no medical training at all, as far as we know?
She does have medical training. Did you not hear her whole explanation?
Oh, I missed it, please.
No, what?
Lady Crane has medical training?
What is the medical training?
That she stabbed all of her boyfriends and then would patch them up.
That's right.
That is her medical training.
Thank you very much.
They completely explained how she could do this. It was their first conversation.
Oh, man. I'm getting this off to a bad foot, but thank you, Sarah, for correcting us.
Just clarifying.
On that incorrect one.
I thought it was also interesting to just start from there. Two things. One, that Lady Crane, I couldn't really recall, but it seemed like she did kind of actually change her ending Joffrey scene in the play with ending with vengeance and not the weeping, which is why I thought we stayed there so long, which was, I believe, Arya's advice to her
Absolutely.
In the very beginning, and it didn't look like it was going to happen because of the theater director or whatnot. Also, one of the rumors going around seems to be really centralized not only on imagery but on wardrobe. And I kind of start to thinking that all of Game of Thrones is just reusing wardrobe today. Because I saw some, like, what I think were extras wearing kind of our lead's wardrobe in the background even today.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I saw a theory this past week that there's this one particular extra who has been seen in previous seasons who's wearing blue, I believe, and he's showing up behind Arya in a lot of scenes. And people think that's something. And as somebody who's done background work, it's probably just the director being like, hey, walk around in circles and
he
just happens
remember.
To be in every shot.
And he's the one extra who's like, I really want to be on camera.
Right. Exactly.
He's really want to be on camera.
And this season, they literally have a giant budget they have to fit in. They have to have a budget for a giant as a recurring character.
Yeah. And
a giant budget.
This show has a lot of extras. So, like, one of the ones I saw today was in King's Landing. I saw what looked like Lady Olenna's older costumes in the audience. And we've already been told that Lady Olenna's left the Red Keep. So I think that they just might be pulling from the same wardrobe.
They gotta recycle. I mean, there's so many.
Or they're doing it for us fans. To be like, ha ha ha, we're going to mess with your head or let you find these Easter eggs. Figure it out.
So this Lady Crane has quite a mean streak. As you said, she stabbed her bad boyfriends quite often. But also we found out what happened to the actress playing Sansa. She got a leg right across the face or something. So
she like got kind of like torn in half.
Yeah.
Sansa. I'm
talking about the Sansa actress. But yes, let's get to that. So Lady Crane helps Arya and doesn't get much in the way of it except for her untimely death.
Yeah.
By falling on the...
backbend.
That stool.
Extreme backbend.
Oh, man. So then we get this epic chase scene, this like Terminator 2 style chase scene through the streets of Braavos. Waif was really intimidating in this. Were you guys freaked out by her? Like genuinely scared by the actress here?
I find that the actress is It's very close for me to being a cartoony villain because she does flip so much from like the stoic like one note speech to this like kind of like devil in her eye chasing her. But because I like the show, it didn't cross that line for me. So she does just function as scary, but she's getting close to like comic book villain type of facial expressions.
Well, no longer. I mean,
now she has no face.
So
I don't know. I wasn't really too scared. Here's the thing. Game of Thrones keeps you on your feet, you know, on the edge of your seat, because all your favorite characters they could die at any time.
Absolutely,
right?
Sure, yeah.
Except I don't feel like Arya is in that boat. Even when she's stabbed in the stomach and bleeding through the street, I always feel like she'll be all right.
So you're feeling like she's one of the safe three or four.
Yeah, like her, Jon Snow. I mean, the fans have spoken, you know.
Daenerys, Tyrion.
She's not going anywhere. You know, so if I wasn't too scared.
Okay.
You know, even when she was dragging her blood across the walls, I'm like, she'll find a way to.
Well, we started thinking that maybe that was a trail. We were saying that to ourselves as we watched this. Mm-hmm. Like, is it so she's following it? I was expecting even more of a booby trap, like rabbit snare all of a sudden wafts upside down and is a torturous death versus lights out.
Lights out, and we all get to see it.
Yeah, so we kind of figured maybe she was leading her because she had this plan to take the lights out because. I mean, I have to assume that the waif didn't get the blind training that Arya did.
The candle was...
Is that the case?
Yeah.
Right.
That seems a little ludicrous to me. I feel like this is average training that
That was because Arya got the blindness as a punishment for not doing what she was told.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she got punished. So maybe the waif was always such a like an A+ student.
Yeah,
she
always saw the punishment they call it a punishment. It was really just a step that they do for everybody. Oh, this is your punishment. Because everybody's going to do something wrong at some point.
Like the people who always get in trouble in high school who end up in detention, but somehow, like this guy, but somehow become like best friends with the assistant principal and then get like perks. And you're like, you only know the assistant principal because you were a shithead.
Yeah.
But then they get benefits.
I didn't cut anyone's faces off, though.
Oh, thank God for that.
There is a great comment on here. I just want to chime in that Bruce Lee says, a girl knows superhero landings. Which I thought was kind of great.
So true.
She really knows how to land like a superhero.
She did.
She was landing left and right. But so she wins the fight that we don't see, much to Ryan's dismay here.
Yeah. But, well, you know, it wasn't. I understand that one, I guess, because it was in the dark. You're not really going to see a fight in the dark.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll get there. But there was a few other things that we didn't see that I wish we did.
Okay. We'll definitely touch on those as we get to those things. Mm-hmm. But so the waif's face is now on the wall here. Mm-hmm. And Jaqen sort of gives Arya a pass here. I think that's what I took it as, the little nod.
I was a bit surprised by that.
He was kind of proud of her, I think.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, you've learned your lesson that you are Arya from Winterfell and you're going home. But I was a bit surprised, like, what did she gain from this except...
Badass assassin.
Yeah, I guess has some assassin skills.
To me, it all came down to that last line. She says, I'm Arya Stark of Winterfell and I'm going home.
Mm-hmm.
So, because for so long now, she's been becoming no one. Right, and she sort of had to become no one in order to find out who she really was, in a way, which is kind of this deep, like circle sort of thing. Right. And it's like Jaqen finally gives her that acknowledgement that she's been waiting for, because he's been asking her for so long, like, "Who are you?" No one. No. 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 And finally, she's like, "I'm not no one. Finally, I'm Arya Stark."
She embraces
it. And I'm going home. And Jaqen's like, "Boom!" He gives his nod of approval.
Yeah, he had this look. I've been planning this the whole time.
Yeah. There's a lot you can kind of like take on to like your own perspective in this scenario. Like the title of this episode is No One. So like the line that stuck out to me is when the waif is kind of lecturing about what the capabilities of people in this world are. She says no one can as a negative, basically saying like it's not possible. But if you do become no one and no one becomes a noun, it's no one can. So no one can't, like, in a positive way. So if you take that, and instead of kind of focusing at it as like, no, and then a person can.
No,
like,
single person.
Yeah, like, it's a
no
dual,
one.
Everything in this has like a dual meaning.
Black and white.
All right.
The house of black and white.
Exactly.
What do you know about
that? So she needs to go back to her family. She needs to be a part of her
family. She needed to be
again.
Able to come no one to actually be able to do something and change the world.
She has to respect where she's coming from.
And she had a pre-life crisis.
Yeah. Someone suggested on here that she also learned to be more bloodthirsty and which I guess is true. And I think she also, like, she just grew up. This was kind of her coming of age story. Was Bravos in a lot of ways?
Yeah,
because
right.
She kind of became where her morals lie are more defined now than when she left.
I wouldn't say so much. She becomes more bloodthirsty. I bet we see a lot less of her killing people than we saw beforehand. Well, honestly, here on out, because I think she just sees the consequences. She knows that people have their own lives now, and that she can't just take it willy-nilly.
And how we started this was with her death list, as like Arya was a servant to death.
Yeah,
like she had it was goes back to everyone she wanted to kill.
I think she still has that list, though. I mean, Cersei. Who else is on it?
Well, also in a couple of episodes back, she was able to identify with Cersei. That's why she bonded with that actress. It was a good way of her talking about Cersei in a way that she suddenly identified with her.
She was also able to kind of admit that she didn't hate the Hound at one point. There was a game between that. Mm-hmm. Like, do you actually care about him?
Right.
Like,
part of her does.
All part of this.
And she, to your point about not being so bloodthirsty, I think she showed maturity and restraint when she had her sword right on Jaqen's heart. Mm. You know, a part of you thinks, all right, here's a guy who just sent the Waif to kill her. Is she going to take her vengeance out right now?
Very true.
And she didn't. She chose to, show restraint, give him a pass. And now she's going back home with, some maturity.
There you go.
And some badass assassin skills.
And she doesn't have to worry about...
She can fight in the dark.
...being hunted for the rest
and
of her life.
And Alan Sabita has said, it's the best episode of my Sweet 16 ever.
I liked this episode. I did. Awesome.
Yeah, very cool. Great.
Ryan, you get some stuff for us here? Or?
You know what? Yeah, let's do this now. All right. All right, guys. So here at AfterBuzz TV, we're able to provide these shows for you, the viewers, at YouTube and iTunes for free. And the way we do that is we have generous sponsors that help keep our studio going. And today's sponsor is Casper Mattresses. So Casper was invented with two high-tech foams that guarantee you sleep cool and comfortable with all the support you need. I know here in California it can get a little hot.
Well, it's a little over a week away from summer.
Yeah.
If you're in LA, you're already sweating.
Yeah. And air conditioning bills running throughout the night. I mean, they get intense. So
do
this
you even
is
have
a,
air conditioning?
I do, but I refuse to turn it on.
Because it's expensive?
It's so expensive.
I don't
right?
have it, and I actually hate air conditioning.
Guys,
so I sweat.
Casper.
There you go.
The point is that this mattress is made of foam that keeps you cool, which is cool. Yep. And in fact, in Time Magazine...
Now, this blows my mind. I mentioned this last time we talked about Casper, but Casper Mattress was named one of the best inventions of 2015 by Time Magazine. Now, that's just not
best
mattress. It's invention.
Of 2015. I mean, it's a new type of foam, some kind of space-age stuff. Give it a try. Sleep on it. Their new sheets and pillow are just as comfortable. Together, they were designed to create the perfect sleep environment so you stay cool and balanced all night. Your Casper mattress ships free in a box so small, you won't believe it holds a mattress.
What?
You won't believe it.
I don't get that. You guys said you've seen this.
You still have to, it like folds. It like condenses, and then you get it, and it's like... Whoosh,
I want to see that.
Would
Tyrion go over the ocean in that?
I think
that
it's
box?
One of those, like, they do some crazy thing, like maybe like vacuum all of the air out of the mattress, but then you open it and it's supposed
and it's like
the right size. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That blows my mind.
It's like a Mary Poppins trick.
It's pretty cool. Pretty convenient. If you need a mattress, check them out. Seriously, you can try it in your home for free. Or, I'm sorry, you can try it in your home for 100 nights risk-free. 100 nights. 100 nights. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. So it's really risk-free. I mean, you can try this mattress out for almost a third of a year.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, if you don't like it, you can send it back, get a full refund, risk-free. So try it out and go to casper.com/AfterBuzz. If you put in the code AfterBuzzTV, all caps, you get $50 towards your purchase of your mattress. So there's a little... perk for the viewers here at AfterBuzz. Go to casper.com/AfterBuzz. Put in the code AfterBuzzTV for $50 towards your purchase. Try it out. 100 nights risk-free. Casper.com. Check it out.
Awesome.
Sleep on it.
Sleep on it. There we go. All right.
Thank
excellent,
you, Casper.
Thank you.
All right.
So now we're going to head over to Marine. We're going to start in Essos. We usually start in Westeros, but we'll go to Marine here where Varys is going on a little expedition.
Yeah. Secret mission.
This is our marine symbol.
It's your marine.
It's not a symbol to the Illuminati.
No, that's Illuminati stuff right
it's
there.
It's not that at all.
Is this, what is it? Like this?
Yeah.
A little triangle.
It's Beyonce. It's Beyonce, right?
I refuse. Okay.
So Varys is on a secret mission to uncharted space.
Yeah, where is he going?
I don't know.
I think
he said he was going to get ships.
Yeah, he said he was going back to Westeros because we need friends in Westeros and we need ships.
So he's going to go there.
Secret mission.
There you go.
Yes.
So he's going to go there and sort of start laying the foundation for Daenerys' return.
Yeah, I think so.
Even though she hasn't said herself that she's going back. I mean, to Tyrion and Varys.
Varys left without. With the impression that Daenerys was still missing. Yeah. And she comes back.
And things were in order.
Right.
Like, he left with the impression that she's gone, everything's merry.
Everything's fine.
But it also seemed like a little bit... We've been digging into this, being like, is there something secret going on? And it felt like another scenario. Like, they were like, it's a secret mission. And they're like yelling each other's names through the lot. Like, Varys! Enjoy yourself!
You're the most famous dwarf in the world, Tyrion.
No one look at you! I'm also getting a lot of chatter about that it's Varys leaving was very convenient. Because it happened right before the attack on Meereen.
Whoa. Suspicious.
I don't know.
I mean, don't like this theory. No, why in the world would he all of a sudden just be like, no, not for Daenerys?
Yeah.
If that's another turn, I'm not on board.
I don't actually agree with that either. I think he is on the Daenerys bandwagon.
Agree or not agree, it is a little suspicious.
It is suspicious.
impeccable timing. You know, I thought an interesting point when... Tyrion said he's the most famous dwarf in the world. Peter Dinklage is probably the most famous dwarf in the world.
Yeah.
You can say dwarf, right? That's politically correct.
I don't know.
Either way, he's the most famous.
All I know is he's great. And he's fantastic. He is just a...
I love him. How about that scene when he's forcing...
The jokes?
The jokes and the drinking. He's such a little enabler.
He just wants a bud.
He just wants a drinking partner. He's
missing his bud already because he was able to have banter and now he's just stuck with these two robots.
He needs a brawn.
Well, that's exactly what I was... I wanted to go back and see word for word the scene that we got with Shay... And Bronn, ages ago, about the joke, about the stories, about their guessing games, it just felt so close to those memories. Mm. And I don't typically, once in a while I catch a little bit of wardrobe thing, because I know they care so much in this show, so I try and pay attention.
I'm learning something new.
I try to pay attention, because what they dress these characters in really means a lot. And the Missandei Grey Worm outfits in this first of all, very intense, black leather, kind of almost like grommeted.
Yeah.
Very similar to the point that they're almost matching.
She was looking good. And
Grey
Worm had sweet.
She's always... Her outfits are normally... They seem to reflect a lot of what like Daenerys wears. Mm. Like they complement each other, like color, texture. They typically... A lot of what they wear goes together. And Daenerys is not there, and Missandei's outfit is very close to Grey Worm's, and it's also aggressive, which kind of goes along with her kind of trajectory as being more of a advocate for battle, for war, advocate for that type of
It
reaction.
Also makes you want them to get together more, that they match.
They're matching.
Yeah.
Oh, they're matching.
Such a cute couple.
To that point, which is a really good point you're bringing up about wardrobe, when Daenerys does walk in at the very end of the episode, she's wearing a black crop top. So, I mean, they did end up matching.
Yeah. Right. And she's been doing that since she kind of took the... Dothraki. Is now back with the Dothraki.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they? But that's another question.
Yeah. So another wardrobe thing is the Red Priests there are doing their job. They're getting the word out about Daenerys, sort of spreading the good word, which Vary seems to be a little hesitant about. But
he was right. It worked for about 1 minute.
Well, I mean, their part is still working. The Red Priests aren't the one that attacked or anything. But we do get is it the Sons of the Harpy? Because, I mean, they got harpies all over their ships, so I'm assuming somehow they...
They're from the neighboring cities that also are, which I forget the name of.
Yes,
Slaver's Bay.
Absolutely.
So they're coming back to... They did not take up on Tyrion's, Tyrion's proposal.
Yes, they did not take it up.
But they're attacking with fire. Isn't it the whole, Red Priest's duty to be able to control this fire? Don't you,
What?
No, I think they just look in fire and see magic things. Or
they can't actually control the flame.
No,
and actually, it's more blood magic that they kind of control.
Yeah, but I just remember when we had the Battle of Blackwater.
Okay.
And how the Red Woman, Melisandre, didn't go.
Yes.
And she was saying that if they attacked with Wildfire and she had been there, she would have been able to do something.
Yeah, she also lies a lot.
Yeah, she might have just been saying
very
that.
Boastful about herself.
You have no hope in what I'm hoping for. I want all of them to be able to go out just there like, and like repel
like
the
Avatar
fire.
With the flame,
yes,
the fire people.
That
yeah,
is
okay.
what I want. Gosh. So, destroy my dreams.
What you, all right, so
what's up,
before man? We before we leave Marine, where do you think this battle's going to go? Because I saw the dragon flying off in the distance, almost like leaving the scene. He dropped her off, dropped Daenerys off, and he flew away. Right. I thought he was going to start wreaking havoc all over those ships.
I did too, and I had to think that was going to happen, and then maybe the Greyjoys are going to come and take him in the rear, and then you got but and then the Dothraki, if they're showing up, they can't exactly go out on the sea because they're really scared of that. So I don't quite know.
So we got
know.
The Unsullied and the Dothraki. Maybe not a dragon.
Maybe Drogon's going to pick up the other two dragons.
Oh,
yeah, they could let the other two dragons out because remember they're kind of getting. They just got uncollared.
Yep.
Have they been released though?
They haven't been released.
And then Tyrion and Daenerys can ride them around. And
yeah. I really want Tyrion on a dragon really badly. And there's a yellow dragon that matches his whole Lannister thing. it would match really well.
A white and cream dragon.
Perfect. Yeah.
Close enough.
So who matches green?
I don't know.
There's a green dragon.
It should be Jon Snow, but he doesn't really match green. But Drogon is Daenerys, so
well that doesn't really color coordinate.
There you go.
Yeah, it doesn't.
We're all about color and costumes here. So let's head over to the Hound.
Yes,
my favorite.
So yes, we got a nice campfire, little romance between some dudes there, and then the Hound comes along and takes them out. The Hound ain't messing around.
Yeah, I love that, man. I'm so glad the Hound's back in action. That was my favorite part of the whole.
It makes me sad though. Yes, it's awesome. It's cool. We get some action and stuff like that. But I'm so sad for the Hound. He was so close to like his life changing around.
Right.
What are you talking about? Yeah, I think he's still right there. With the scenes we got today, he's just on the brink of being a fantastic
person. Yeah, but everything's getting in his way.
Also, honestly, he matches better with the Brotherhood than he does with these people building a sect.
Okay.
I mean, he was never going to be a peaceful person.
There you go. I'm so glad that this was not the entire Brotherhood that everybody was nervous about last week. It was a rogue three dudes who went and disobeyed orders and everything and killed everybody. So they were getting their punishment. They were getting hanged. The Hound does a little bargaining here. This scene was hilarious.
It's my favorite scene of the episode, hands down.
It was great.
Bargaining, taking their shoes.
Oh, that was so good. That was just like...
just sitting in the dirt.
There was a lot of great levity moments in this whole episode. Like, every single location and storyline had kind of this brief moment of joking around and... which was kind of nice to see out of a whole season of kind of intense something happening. This was kind of the funny episode, in a way. Because you saw, like, you know, with Bronn and then with the drinking games, and then you have these hangman humor that's kind of happening. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that about this one.
And then we have the next campfire scene with Beric and Thoros and the Hound talking about join us and this and that.
He's totally joining
us. What did you take from this? What was going on here? How did you feel about this? Is he going to join them?
I think he is. He has nowhere else to go. I mean, look, he found his friends and his family, so to speak, but they're all dead.
Yeah.
So now he has no one else except for guys who are trying to enlist his help and not put him on a leash. You know, Hound doesn't want to be on a leash.
But, I mean, they have rules. Obviously, you see they're taking it out on the men. They have punishment for the men. They just hang.
They do, but you see that they have a way to negotiate with each other. I mean, they can come to compromises. As you can see, like, he wanted to just slaughter them all with an axe. But they, out of respect for each other, found a compromise to where he was able to kill two of them, but he wasn't going to, you know, gut them. I mean, he showed restraint out of respect. I think he's finding a reason to have a place in this world.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because he has to have a purpose. Every man needs a purpose.
I don't want him to be with them forever. I'm okay with kind of traveling companions to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Maybe they have one quest where they're kind of the same goal, which is probably going to be to kill the mountain, because that was originally, wasn't that originally the Band of Brothers' goals was to kill the mountain?
They were fighting
one of the things they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So I I would like maybe a quest together, but I don't want them staying together.
Dungeons and Dragons session.
Yeah, you know. Okay. I'm just flipping around from all of my fantasy.
I could watch a spin-off show that's just, you know, the Hound and the Brotherhood going around saving the day at little towns just around Westeros. I think that would be amazing. And, you know, I think eventually Will, I think he's going to meet the mountain eventually, just because I feel like
I'm not for it.
It's the big... You're not for it?
No, what? I think the Clegane Bowl is the dumbest thing. There's no reason in the world that the Hound would ever win that fight.
Yes, that there doesn't matter.
I think that would be the death of both of them. And I think that's how they both go
out. There you
go.
I'm not for it.
If you just combine like the four ways he killed the four first men, like chop off head, do just like a couple of different tactics, it could work.
I mean, that's what he...
Come on.
What's actually interesting now is because the mountain is a zombie mountain, a Franken mountain, probably the only way to kill him is with fire.
I was going
to
say dragons.
Which the Hound is afraid of.
But
that's the one thing he's afraid
of. So beautiful is that he'll be able to kill his brother who burned him by burning him.
And he'll probably grab the mountain and they'll fall into a fire together and he'll hate it and they'll hate it and it'll be tragic and beautiful and they'll hug and be like, brother, I do love you.
You know what? It may happen in the show. It's probably not going to happen in the books. George never gives us anything we want like that. But the show writers, I mean, they may give it to us.
You're not a fan of Clegane
Bowl. We'll see.
You're not a fan.
I don't want to see it.
You don't want to see it.
Okay. So Beric is saying we are meant for something. Mm. He's laying the groundwork for something. They are meant to do something. They have some important purpose. So I think he's going to join him and go on something. And Sarah's like,
maybe they've been reached out to and they're going to go north.
Yeah, I mean, the way, guys. Well, I think
you
they might.
You don't know how many they have.
That's true. That's very true.
They got no banners, though.
They got no banners.
Yeah, and the enemies they were talking about sounded a lot like the White Walkers.
Yeah.
It sounded like who we're out
to fight.
They're
seeing things in the flames. Come on.
Yeah, we'll keep coming. So I think they're out to fight against that.
Mm-hmm. So let's head over to King's Landing. Oh, wait. Yes. Okay. My apologies.
Well, I have a question about that. I don't know if it's... Before we move off from the Brotherhood.
What's up, man? What's
your question? I don't know if I should ask this. Is it a bit of a spoiler?
I still think there's a possibility, but
okay.
I still don't know. These guys are watching. We're all watching the episode, and they're all talking to each other. Like, is it going to happen? What are you guys talking about?
This is a book reader question spoiler.
Yeah.
It is not something hinted to in the show. This is coming from outside
Can you
knowledge.
Put the spoiler alert thing
are we going to do
a
spoiler
a
for about 30 seconds?
30 seconds.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Okay, there it is. Okay. I think this is proof that they're not going to do Stoneheart.
Okay.
I don't think Stoneheart's going to come at all. What do you think?
I still think there's a possibility, and Beric saying that they're meant for something more, that they're still alive for a reason, makes me think it could still happen.
But Stoneheart has to be around now, right? Like, she has to be kicking around somewhere.
No, they can just bring it back. She'd just be really,
really
decomposed.
Stony.
Really stony. Okay.
Okay. All right. We're done.
We're done.
For the show watchers, not the book readers, will you share with them what Stoneheart is?
No, we will not.
Okay.
I can't.
All right.
I can't.
Okay. Now we're going to go back.
All right. All right. Excellent. Okay. So let's go to King's Landing where Gregor Stein is ready for action here.
Yeah, Cersei chooses violence.
I
know.
Think why I liked this show so much is that I didn't see this episode was that I didn't see anything of the High Sparrow. It really just made it better.
You don't like that guy or Theon, but
he's such a good villain.
No, I don't agree with Theon like becoming all amazing, but I like what Theon does. But the High Sparrow does gives me a headache a little bit.
He does flex his muscles here a bit, and he gets Tommen to say they can go. The Faith Militant. Now, the Faith Militant are armed priests, which Cersei set up herself. And they're like, and now they're in the Red Keep? Ooh, boy. That's big news. But Cersei is none too happy with this. And we get to see Gregor Stein in action here.
Not really.
Well, he takes...
That was another thing,
He takes four spikes to the chest and doesn't even flinch.
You see him rip a head off.
But you don't.
You did. You saw half a head.
Spine.
You saw half a head and spine.
You
saw, like, Scorpion from
I mean, we saw Oberyn's head explode. I wanted to see this guy rip a head off.
You can't all be an Eli Roth movie.
What? I want to see Achilles' heels getting slashed left and right.
I wanted to see it happen because that's what they showed in the preview, right? Isn't he about to rip the head off?
You did see. You saw half that head.
I wanted to see him kill a little bit more people. Since since the Hound's death total came to about six, I wanted to see the mountains come to a little bit higher than one.
Right.
Mm, true.
For the episode.
We shall see it. Or maybe we won't, because there is an announcement in the throne room.
Oh, God. Tommy gives me such a migraine.
First off, the first announcement is Cersei and Loras are going to be standing trial pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And the second big announcement is that trial by combat is now banned in all the Seven Kingdoms.
Golly.
There you go.
There goes Clegane Bowl right there.
Yeah, it's gone. Unless they just meet up and fight. But, you know.
He sends a raven.
Unless the mountain just comes in and is like, I'm actually going to fight, and just kills all the priests. Which is kind of morbid. Mm.
If something happens, because that's all Cersei has is Franken Mountain. I mean, that's it. And Frankenstein, the guy.
Frankenmountain doesn't care about this stuff. If she's like, trial by combat, and they're like, no. And she goes, Gregorstein, get over here. Kill all them. You think he's going to be like, there's no trial by combat. Come on.
I don't know if you heard that back there in the throne room, but the little boy king
said I couldn't do it.
Oh, boy. I don't know why he gave me this voice after I died.
Why does Gregorstein sound like Yogi the Man?
Hey, Sandor, how about a pick in a basket? Pick in a basket. That's how they had to get his throat from somewhere else. And it was from a cartoon bear.
Well, he did swear never to speak until all her enemies have been perished.
Oh, that is very true. Or at least that's what Qyburn said. But yeah, so it's pretty much just Qyburn, the Gregorstein, and Cersei kind of doing their thing. It's like mother and father and their baby boy.
I really don't understand how Tommen was manipulated to the point where he's abandoning his own mother, where a few episodes ago he was crying to her, asking her for her guidance and help.
Have you seen Marjorie?
She's pretty hot.
Yeah.
But Marjorie's playing them, guys.
Yeah, but
Marjorie's playing the game. Tommen's being manipulated.
So is Marjorie manipulating Tommen to put Cersei in this position?
I think she's...
Is that just a side effect?
I think it's a side effect, but a good side effect that she likes. But I think that Tommen is just... He's just, like, not meant to be a king. He's just a little boy. Yeah. And he's just, like, the weakest little...
He's the best Lannister king so far.
Yeah, he's, like, a good guy that's just being a pawn for everyone.
Yeah, he's totally just a pawn.
I feel like I'd have more sympathy for him if he were younger. I feel like... Isn't he younger in the books?
Yes. Yes, he is. He's like, he's a little boy playing with his cats.
Very, very little boy. But at this age, it just annoys me. He's like an Ollie. You know?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of people on the chat just wanting him dead. Yeah, we get a lot of...
But we have Kevin there, who seems like a very reasonable, intelligent man, who is siding with Tommen on all this. He's not doing anything that... You guys think he should be stopping Tommen from this? Tommen's making his choices.
You're right. He is a smart man. He's hand of the king.
But he's,
and he's not really doing anything.
Has he ever done anything that was that smart? What has he done that's that smart?
He said no to Cersei a lot. Yeah, and that's pretty smart.
That's a pretty smart thing.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't label him as, he's a Lannister, he's been powerful, whatever. But I don't, honestly, he's a forgettable character to me.
That's true.
Guys, what's the rumor? Qyburn and Cersei. What's the rumor? What's going on? Do you have any inclination what this is? What were they talking about?
They breezed right past that.
The rumor. Listeners, what's the rumor?
I don't know. We got a lot of questions about that, too. Yeah. What do you guys think the rumor is?
I mean, we
got
to talk about this. This is something Qyburn investigated. He said he had the little birds were investigating something. So does it have to do something with Daenerys?
I thought it was like Marjorie's pregnant.
Remember our theory from before? Maybe Sansa's pregnant.
I don't know. Or Sansa's... Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Sansa's pregnant with... Ramsay's baby. Ramsay Bolton. But that, I mean,
or is
that,
this a,
really a big
so,
deal?
So have they laid any groundwork for what this could be? Or is
I'm
this
sure
just the show?
Just
is this the show just saying something mysterious?
We got a lot of Gendry. A lot of people think could it be Gendry? The rumor is Gendry.
Yeah, but
a lot of people say Wildfire for some reason.
At this point, do you think anyone's really going to care if a Baratheon bastard is around?
The wildfire under the sea.
Yeah, he's got no power.
He's not really. Except he would be proof that the person who's king shouldn't be king.
Well,
proof
that's
that
if,
somebody would need
well,
to
now,
have black hair. He needs to dye his hair.
Jamie
is kind of coming out and starting to tell people that, like, he's in love with Cersei. That's maybe becoming even more common knowledge. Yeah. They're about to have this trial. If that does come out, then it would really matter.
You're right. Wildfire. Everyone thinks it's wildfire. Everyone thinks that, oh, well, I'm getting more wildfires than Gendry's. That it's just the wildfire under the city.
This is taking a big detour, and I'm sorry in advance. So, Cersei, they've just reiterated over and over and over again. It's all about protecting her children. So what happens if Cersei's like, dude, he's not the king in the trial? Which strips him of power and, like,
well, then, she would have to admit that she's had incestual relations.
Yeah.
And
he would die. His son, her son would die.
Tommen. Or would she just die?
No, I think Tommen would be like, you're not the rightful. I don't. It would take both of them out of power.
I think the one.
Would Cersei kind of want that?
No.
She doesn't seem to care that much.
No, here's the thing. Cersei.
Being in the Red Keep anymore.
The one thing that you cannot doubt is her unrelenting love for her children. I don't think that she would throw him under the bus no matter how much
he betrayed her. But her unrelenting love comes across in strange ways sometimes.
She's a strange duck.
Like, if she convinces herself that they should all just leave.
She's a strange duck.
Out of the blue.
Sorry. before we move on, I give my little two cents. I think it's something that we haven't laid the groundwork for. I think this rumor, this is the start of something. We'll find out what that rumor is. I don't think we have any pieces to put it together with. We could theorize all
maybe
day.
Maybe the White Walkers are back, because that's not really something that everyone down south has been aware of.
Right.
So, moving on, we head to River Run. And the final scene we got here. So it's Brienne shows up and talks to Jaime, and she's got this plan to treat with the Blackfish, get the army, let them through to go up and help the Starks, which just seems like a ridiculous plan.
That was my plan. Don't call it ridiculous.
There you go. The greatest plan ever heard.
Thank you.
But how are you? I like Jaime, but I'm not going to believe him when it comes to that.
It just seems weird because the Lannisters and the Boltons have this, however fragile, alliance. And Brienne saying, "Hey, let me get these soldiers to help fight your alliance people up in the north, so we can get rid of them, and then we can come and get you because we hate you, really, because you're the Lannisters." What?
The Lannisters not going to help? Oh, the Starks are gaining an army again.
Oh, perfect.
Sounds good.
Yeah, let's do it.
Perfect.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think Jaime is really interested in conquering anything, all he really wants is to make Cersei happy.
Yep.
To be honest, so when I saw him, say, "Yeah, Brienne, go ahead and try," I really believed him. I don't think he really cares who holds what house.
I think
he just wants to be with Cersei.
We were having some very emotional, deep issues going on with Jaime. Crisis, identity crisis, emotional crisis, who he is as a man crisis.
Crisis
going on in this episode.
It happens.
It's just turning. And I think I'm very divided on whether or not I think he's kind of on the road to becoming a greater man or a lesser man.
I've always liked him, even though he's done terrible things, but he always owns up to him.
Who hasn't done terrible things in this world?
There's
a couple.
Yeah, it's true.
There's like two or three.
John.
It's true. But what makes him a likable character is that when he does things, he owns up to him right away. He's like, "Yeah, no, I pushed that boy out the window. I killed my cousin. I did this and that. And you know what? It's just matter of fact. That's the way the world is. That's the way I am." Yeah. He's running away from being a Kingslayer his whole life. So, his honor is pretty much stained in everyone else's eyes. So what else is he going to do? He can't get it back.
Him not taking that sword really worries me. Him not taking, repossessing Oathkeeper, although it is a beautiful gesture to have Bran take it, really, I'm like, if you don't feel solid enough in, who you are to hold that sword because of what it means, it worries me about what you're about to do. And, you know that you're...
So you're taking it as literal, if you don't take this sword, you can't keep your oath. That's how you're seeing it.
That's how I feel.
Okay.
I also think deep down, Jimmy knows that Brienne is a better knight than him.
Yeah.
Just like a...
that's what I'm saying. He's the general now,
Yeah, and he's also still...
He doesn't need
the sword. Yeah, right now, if Cersei says no, he'll still say no. He'll go against his knightly vows.
He doesn't... he doesn't identify as a knight. He identified himself as a Lannister.
Yes.
He did not say, "I am a knight," which is the quote you always hear. He said, "I am a Lannister."
Right.
Yeah. And we do get a lot of people on here that's making a good point that Brienne does need it more because it is Valyrian steel.
Yeah.
So it actually will fight the White Walkers better. Yes. So it's good that she has it.
She needs it. And, I mean, that sword is kind of a... I mean, it's come... It's had a long journey. It was melted down from Ned Stark's sword. It was given to Jaime by his father, Tywin, kind of in bad taste, saying, hey, you know, you can't love your sister... You can't, you know, I mean, it's basically that sword symbolizes all the things that he never really wanted to do in life. So I don't think he wants it.
He doesn't want it. It means too many bad things.
But now it's defending a Stark again, and it's forged from a Stark blade. So that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
So is Bronn going to keep training Pod?
Oh, I hope so. I love them together. I miss Pod. Yeah, like, Pod was just gone for a little while.
We finally get the mention of the magic cock. It's been many seasons.
Yeah, I miss the magic cock.
But, yeah.
There's not so much. There's not a lot of sex going on in this show right now.
Not a lot.
I know.
And this whole conversation, they were having a whole conversation about sex right here. But,
What are you, owing?
Owing?
I just, can I vent real quick?
Go.
What?
Sure. Do it.
I don't think the Blackfish got his, the death he deserved.
Well, there's a lot of people on the chat think that maybe he's not dead. Because there might be people in the castle that are on his side.
Ooh.
So maybe he's still alive and he's going, I'm going to go out fighting. And then you never see him die. And no body, no death in the end. But he could be dead still.
Or maybe the actor's just a little bit older and didn't want to do all of the fight choreography.
I also think we've seen enough.
Sir Barristan did a great job dying. You know, I feel like, I don't know, Blackfish should have, we should have seen his triumphant, you know, I mean, that was his last, you know, bidding was I'm going to go out with honor. And we didn't see any of it. I was disappointed not seeing
I'm going to go with me. I'm going to hope. Let's hope. Let's hope he's still alive.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'm just mad at him that he didn't get on that boat.
Get on the boat.
I mean, I can understand. Goodbye. He's an older man. He's been through wars. And everything, and he's just kind of like, this is my castle, I'm not going to leave.
I was born here, I'll die here.
I can understand that, but I'm like, get on the boat! Go help Sansa.
I'm so very against this argument. Like, blood is better than a castle. You holding this castle doesn't mean anything if you can't go actually be with your family members.
Well, you know, I respected him for wanting to hold his castle, but as soon as it was lost, for sure, as soon as it was gone... Then you take blood's side. Then you go help out your family. You use your knowledge and your experience.
In the beginning.
Yeah, maybe, but he didn't choose that route. At that time, though, he should have gotten on the boat. I think he should have gone and helped Sansa out.
Okay, so Edmure. Jaime convinces Edmure to betray the castle.
Yeah.
Oof. Shame on you, Edmure.
Did you guys... We all knew he was going to betray him, right? As soon as he's there. Yeah. Did any of us think he was going to be like, ha ha, Jaime, sucker?
Yeah.
No, not so much.
I feel bad for that one dude that's like, I got to follow my lord. I'm really loyal. This is going to pay off in the end. Man.
Messed it up.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. And what was the deal do you think he made?
He gets his son that he's never seen.
Yeah.
He probably also said that he won't hurt anybody in the castle.
Yeah, I also think he...
Which is good.
I mean, he's helping his people. He's keeping... I mean,
he wanted to survive. He wanted his family back. And he'll probably just end up being the, you know, kind of cushy prisoner of the phrays in a way. But
Jaime did say he would give him... He would let him be with his son or something like that.
Yeah. Didn't
he say
would that give at some him point? Some rooms in Castrally Rock.
Yeah, give him some rooms.
Because he's also married to... Is he married to a Frey?
He's married to a Frey.
So he'll probably just be with the Freys, hanging out there.
Because they love him so much when they didn't have him in the prison.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't agree. I mean, you basically... Here's
what
a man...
To Edmure?
No, not anymore.
That's the question.
He sold his honor. I mean, he sold it straight up. And you can't get that back.
Yeah.
So Jaime admires Kat. For protecting her kids. We get this whole thing where he finally admits that he loves Cersei and he's like admiring Kat. And you're not getting a soft spot for Jaime out of all this?
I like him.
Yeah.
I like Jaime. I still like, I don't know why I like Jaime because you have to remember he pushed a kid out the window.
People have done some horrible things in the show.
But it's kind of after a while you're like, but he lost a hand. He's okay.
But if you go back to Hold the Door, I mean, he had to push Bran out the window. I mean, he had to. For the betterment of humanity. for the to see save the world.
Awesome.
Well, we'll see.
All right, guys.
He hasn't saved the world yet, but right.
And we'll then at the very end, he lets Brienne go. He sees her going off down the river in the distance.
Everyone went awkwardly.
And there we go. So he still cares for her or respects her or one or the other. I think he's all Cersei in 100%, but I think he respects Brienne.
Does anyone else want to see The Bachelorette with Brienne and like
and Tormund?
Yeah,
and just kills all the other bachelors
and Podrick and Jaime.
She has suitors now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we can talk about some predictions for next week, maybe.
And now you're after us.
All right, you guys want to see some people dead? I think we're going to get a lot of dead people next week.
Oh, yeah.
That's my prediction. I think it's the Battle of the Bastards next week.
Dead people.
Oh, man. How is this going to go down?
It's going down for real.
Good. Okay, good prediction. That's good.
Sarah, what's up? How's this fight going to go?
I mean, I'm not quite sure, because for a moment there, how they were starting with their previews, I was like, oh, it's going to be champion versus champion, Jon Snow versus Ramsay. And then I just saw a bunch of spears flying into other bodies. Yeah. So I was like, oh, never mind. Then I was like, can Arya get back in time?
That's
so, like, secret assassin.
No, I don't think Arya is going to get there in time, but we are going to see that giant budget take effect.
Giant,
and
yes.
Probably that dire wolf's going to come out of hiding kind of have some fun. Yeah, because Ghost is still around. So.
Or maybe some other dire wolves will show up.
My question is, Brienne going to make it up there in time?
Oh my god, that would be great.
Wouldn't that be great? If dire wolves just started. Like, direwolves. Army of the Forest.
Will Littlefinger and the Aaron army show up in the 11th hour and save the day?
That was going to be my prediction.
Is it going to happen?
That's my prediction, is that Littlefinger, with such style, is going to swoop in, like that scene in Lord of the Rings, you know, where Gandalf comes in. He's the cavalry who's going to come in right at the last second, save the day, and win favor.
Boom.
Littlefinger, don't let me down.
Is Littlefinger saving the day?
Yeah.
No. Like, he might show up, but I don't think he's going to save the day.
Okay.
I think he's going to save the day. I think it's going to be... Or he might be one of the many things that saves the day.
Oh, there's going to be a few things.
This is going to be just this battle, right? I hope this episode is just going to be...
I think it's going to be that ninth episode. Because last year we had... what was it last year? I don't remember. I don't know. 2 years ago, it was the Battle at the Wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
Was that 2 years ago?
I think that was seasons ago. That was season four.
Yeah.
And we had Battle of Blackwater. That was entirely that one, right? We've done this before. So I'm hoping, it's just there, the entire episode. Because, man, those...
I think it's going to be great. And I do think, I hope Ramsay dies. Oh, do I hope that.
Really?
I'm stealing something from the chat.
Take it.
And I'm kind of manipulating it. Someone said the Umbers are gonna betray Ramsay.
Okay.
And I'm like, but maybe what if Littlefinger is responsible for all of these houses turning on Ramsay?
So Littlefinger's been walking around,
whispering. And being like, go join Ramsay.
I wouldn't
I'll
be surprised.
I'll pay you or something.
Littlefinger.
And then Littlefinger is like.
I don't think the Lords of the North would be sellswords and take money, but that'd be interesting.
But it'd be really interesting.
The North remembers.
I just want them obviously. Mm-hmm. I just try and find ways for them to
By the way, last year, someone's reminding me it was Hardhome. Hardhome.
Hardhome, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Mm. All right. Anything else about next week, guys? I think we're good.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be this next week, but I think the following week after that, Arya's going to maybe show up in Westeros. That's what I'm thinking.
That's a 69-minute episode.
If she shows up...
Oh, yes, we have... The last episode of the season is an extended over an
69
hour
69-minute?
Yeah.
69.
Better have
I'm
going
to say right now...
69-minute, you better have sex.
It should have some sex. But if Arya shows up in the last scene of this season, I will be very unhappy.
Oh, yeah. Well, but what if she shows up and it's like all the Starks
and
together
like kills
again?
Ramsay Bolton in the last
scene? Yeah. Needle goes right through. Oh, my God.
Wait, if you could see Ramsay Bolton die anyway, how would it be? I'm saying
flayed.
Flayed, yeah.
Flayed and probably.
Bobby flayed.
And eaten by wolves at the same time. And yeah, eaten by wolves.
We
and
really
then
need
flayed.
Kristen for this question.
Yeah, she is brutal. Awesome.
She was kebabbed.
All right, guys, thank you so much for watching this AfterBuzz TV After Show for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 8, No One. My name's Kyle Matic. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Matic.
And my name is Ryan Malaty. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, everything. Guys, thank you so much for watching. Please give us a thumbs up if you like our shows and subscribe so you don't miss a thing. YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Sarah?
Yeah. You can find me at Sarah_Stretton. We have two more.
Oh no. Ah.
You can find me at MR Dave Child.
Mr. Dave Child.
Everything.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Vala Magules.
Thank you, guys, and we'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Goodbye.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.